May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure before thy face, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Did our hearts not burn within us while he opened to us the scriptures? If we let the Lord open the scriptures to us, our hearts will burn within us as well. The story of the road to Emmaus is a story that can teach us how to read the word in the heavenly doctrine of the new church and see the Lord there, on every page, in every sentence, and in every single word. To discover how a story about two men talking to the Lord as they walk down the road teaches us about reading the Lord's word, let's now follow behind these two men as they traveled along that ancient road over 2,000 years ago. In the afternoon of the third day after the Lord had been crucified, two men who had followed Jesus during his life on earth were walking away from Jerusalem toward a village called Emmaus. Their destination was about 7 miles away. Walking west along a dusty, well-traveled road through the rolling hills of what is now modern-day Israel, they were discussing the events that had occurred earlier that morning. Their discussion, however, was not a simple recounting of what had unfolded that morning. The Greek word used here in the Gospel of Luke to describe what they're doing means not only conversation, but reasoning, questioning, and disputing. They were going back and forth about what exactly had happened that morning. Perhaps they were even arguing about it. They had heard from Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, that the body of Jesus was no longer in the sepulcher. And they heard these women who discovered the empty tomb also claim that they had seen angels. The women reported that the angels said the Lord had risen, as he predicted. But these reports, as we read in Luke, appeared before the disciples as idle sayings. The disciples discounted these reports from the women. They didn't believe them. So it seems that rather than disputing over whether or not the Lord had risen, they were merely arguing about what could have happened to the body of Jesus as they set out on their roughly 2-hour walk to Emmaus. Sometimes we can react the same way to what the Lord reports to us in the Word or the heavenly doctrine. We can read and think like the disciples thought about these reports from the women who had been to the tomb. We can say to ourselves, this doesn't match what I think is going on. There must be some other explanation. If we approach the word and the heavenly doctrine like the two disciples traveling to Emmaus, we won't see the Lord in his word. They were disputing about what they thought was really going on, rather than believing the word of the Lord himself, that he would rise. Of course, we can't see the Lord in his word when we are thinking like this. In a state like this, we wouldn't be able to see him when we read the word and his heavenly doctrine, even if he were standing right here next to us as we read. But let's return to the story. We read in Luke, and it came to pass as they conversed and were disputing, Jesus himself being near went with them. But their eyes were held, so they did not know him. They were arguing about what the women at the tomb saw, whom they talked to there, and what happened to Jesus' body. And they noticed someone who had been nearby walk right up next to them. Why didn't they recognize him? In the Gospel of Luke, it says, their eyes were held, so they did not know him. The word held is from the Greek word kriteo, which means to place under one's grasp, to seize hold of or put under control. What was controlling these two disciples to keep them from recognizing the Lord? Their minds were fixated on natural ideas from themselves and the world around them rather than the spiritual ideas they had from the Lord. This is why they didn't recognize him. This is where we all start. This is where we will find ourselves over and over again. But the Lord teaches in the work Arcana Celestia that faith from self or from what is man's own is not faith, for it causes him to see falsities as truths and truths as falsities. And if he sees truths as truths, still he does not see because he does not believe. For he sees himself in them and not the Lord. This passage seems to describe exactly the state of the two disciples walking down the road with the Lord. They saw him, but still did not see who he was. So what were the conditions for belief? The ideas from themselves and not the Lord that were in the minds of these two disciples that kept them from seeing the Lord as they walked with him down the road to Emmaus. If we continue with this story, we find that the disciples actually explained this to Jesus himself as they walked. When the Lord approached them, he asked them what they were talking about and why it made them sad. One of them responded, saying that they were discussing the recent events in Jerusalem, specifically the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a man, a prophet, powerful in deed and in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the judgment of death and have crucified him. They continued explaining to the Lord, "We hoped that it had been he who was to have redeemed Israel. But besides all this, today brings the third day since these things were done." They were sad, they explained, because a man, a prophet, whom they hoped would free Israel from Roman rule, had been executed. He was dead. This was their preconceived idea. This was their natural thinking that they were stuck in. This is why they didn't recognize the Lord as they walked down that road. These disciples still thought that Jesus was there as a liberator from Roman oppression. They were thinking naturally, not spiritually. They continued to explain to the Lord, saying, "Certain women from among us amazed us, who were early at the sepulcher, and not finding the body they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, who say that he is alive. And certain of them who were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they did not see him." They were explaining this to the Lord himself. Think of the irony. The disciples were now doubling down on their misconceptions by explaining this to the Lord, whom they still did not recognize. They were saying how they had heard all of these stories, but no one had actually seen the Lord. The inference here is that they were looking for conclusive, natural evidence on their terms and had not yet found it. But there was the Lord right next to them. And what was his response? "O thoughtless and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Slow of heart to believe. What an odd rebuke. What does it mean to be slow of heart to believe? In the word, a heart means our will, and our will, of course, is where our loves are. If we love something, we might say we believe it in our heart. So we can see that the Lord's rebuke had to do with what the disciples were slow to love. They were slow to love what the Lord taught in the prophets of the Old Testament. They did not really believe the Lord was speaking to them in the Old Testament because they were thinking from themselves and what they wanted, not from what the Lord and what he had taught them. They were hoping for a national liberator, not God himself. They did not yet believe what the Lord taught them in their hearts, so they couldn't see him, even though he was standing right there next to them. But what the Lord did next shows us how the Lord uses his word to help us through times when we are slow of heart to believe, like the disciples. He responded to them by explaining the word to them. It says, "Beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." He explained the word to them. Did you know that in the heavenly doctrine, it also explains how the entirety of the Old Testament is about the Lord in its highest sense? Just as the Lord explained the meaning of the Old Testament to the disciples, he has done the same thing for us in his second coming. Now he is just waiting for us to discover him there. He has given us the truths of the second coming to help us when we are slow of heart to believe. We're told in Luke that when the disciples listened to the Lord open the scriptures to them, they could feel their hearts burn within them. They were being moved very deeply by what the Lord was explaining to them. Unlike their state, when he first approached and their hearts were slow to believe, when the Lord was teaching them, their hearts were burning. They were being filled with love to the Lord as they listened to what he was teaching them. But let's look at what he did next, because this is also how the Lord does it with us today, too. He did not threaten their eternal damnation if they did not obey his word. Instead, when the disciples reached their destination, he made as though he would go further. We can picture the Lord taking an extra step or two. They still didn't know who he was. After reviewing with them all the scriptures, he was leaving them in freedom to reject him or to accept him, to accept the meaning of the word that he had explained or to reject it. But the disciples did not let him go on. Instead, they asked him to stay with them because it was getting late. They cared about his welfare. They were receptive to what he had to say. When we take the time to read the word and the heavenly doctrine from love, we are approaching the Lord like the disciples. Like the disciples did, we are inviting him in because we love him. And this is what we need to do to see him in the word. We need to invite him in from love because, as we read in the Arcana, faith is the eye of love. The Lord being seen by love through faith. Once we choose of our own free will to invite the Lord in from love by going to him in the sacred scripture and in the heavenly doctrine of the new church, he will break bread with us. He will show us the goodness that comes from the Lord's love, and then we will recognize him too. As we read in Luke, "Then the Lord reclined with them. Taking bread, he blessed it and breaking gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him." This is how we will see the Lord in his divine revelation, because as he teaches in the Arcana, the Lord appears by good, but not by truth without good, for bread is the good of life. But the story is not over. As soon as they saw him, he became invisible to them, and they returned to Jerusalem to report these events to the rest of the disciples. There, once again, they saw the Lord and followed him until he ascended to heaven. Then they finally knew exactly who he was, and they finally knew that he had been with them, always. And now with this story, we can know the very same thing about the presence of the Lord in his word. As it is written in Isaiah, "Thine eyes shall behold the King in his beauty." Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.